I'd like to talk to you really about engaging the spiritual realms, and there are lots of them, and we tend to focus on the heavenly realms, but there are lots of other spiritual realms also we can engage in. Matthew 6:10, we've probably said this if we went to school, well I did, this was said every day at assembly, but the Lord's Prayer, but it's like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that little phrase has so many different meanings for different people. And I was talking to Laura the other day, and she was saying in French, the meaning in French, because they come from a sort of a Catholic background, is, well, God does the stuff in heaven, and God does the stuff on earth, and we're just bystanders. But I think I used to think, well, God did the heavenly stuff, and we do the earthly stuff, or try to. But actually, really, we are invited to be involved in the heavenly stuff as well as the earthly stuff.
Yes.
And as sons of God and co-heirs, we get to be involved as the as it is in heaven.
Yes.
But the question is how? Because it's great knowing that you can, but how do you? And for me, that's been my journey, is really over the years of learning how. Because it didn't come very easy. For some people, and I ask people, well, how do you do that? And they say, well, I just do it. Well, for me, that's so frustrating. Because I want to know how. And then I want to be able to explain to other people how. And so it's really great that people can just do it. But it really doesn't help me if they can't tell me how. So I had to try and learn how. Now, I come from a fairly religious background, from a Methodist church and then the Brethren church. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Brethren church. Well, not actually in it, but while I was in it, in 1986, which was a very interesting experience. But that journey has not been easy. And I think, you know, if I was God, I wouldn't have chosen me. You know, I would have chosen someone for who it came easier. So all along my journey, it's been hard. I couldn't hear, I couldn't see, I couldn't do any of those things. I was very left-brained, analytical. I was a scientist, worked in a hospital laboratory for many years. So I had a very logical, analytical view of things. But God had a different plan. So he began to take me on a journey to discover my creative side, let's say, and the right side of my brain rather than the left side. We need to be able to engage the heavens ourselves if we're going to be involved in the as it is. And we know these scriptures, and I knew this scripture, you know, for 40 years. You know, Ephesians 2:6, and he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's like, wow, awesome. But it was just a theory. It was just, well, that's something that I know it says, but I've never really experienced. And then, you know, another scripture, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, isn't much good to me if I can't access the heavenly places. And I was forever trying to get the blessings out of heaven, calling God to pour them out, you know, rend the heavens and come down, and all the sort of prayers and over the years, seeking for revival and seeking for God to come and do something to release those blessings. But actually, he's called us to be in the heavens to access those blessings and bring them down. Not just call them down, but be a gateway for them to come into the earth through our lives. So I think many of us have probably had mystical experiences, encounters, but a lot of them are involuntary in nature. They just happen. And when you get an awesome time of worship like we've had, it creates an atmosphere for those things to happen. And they're awesome. But then what's going to happen tomorrow when there isn't any worship? What do you do then? You know, how do you actually do this when the atmosphere is not that conducive? Can you learn? And my experience was God taught me over a long period of time how to hear his voice, how to see, how to engage, how to go into that realm. And I think anyone can learn. Because if I believe if I can, coming from the background that I came from, I think anyone can. And I think that's why God probably chose me. Because it's like, if it was easy for me, then everyone could say, well, it's easy for you. But it really hasn't been. It's been a long journey over many, many years. And so if we're going to really be involved in the as it is in heaven, we need voluntary encounters continually. We need to be able to access that realm And not just access it to step in and out, but to live there. And to dwell there, because that's what Jesus did. You know, so I've been on a very long journey to discover all these things. And it started in 1986 for me when I got baptized in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden there were spiritual gifts and discernment and things that the Spirit said. Because the Holy Spirit, of course, has access to the spiritual realm. And the Holy Spirit can give you information about the spiritual realm. And when we first start engaging in these type of things, that's generally what people pick up. They get pictures or they get prophetic insight. And the Holy Spirit's telling them stuff. But the Holy Spirit is telling us those things, not so we remain dependent on the Holy Spirit telling us, but to inspire us to learn how to do it ourselves. So that our spirit can see and engage in the same realms and discern the same information. You know, but I couldn't do that. In fact, I didn't even know you could. But the Holy Spirit was a good introduction to helping me see there's more beyond what I could see with my physical eyes. And so I would have prophecy or words or pictures and occasionally visions, which opened up a whole different realm for me, coming from a brethren background. None of that stuff existed. So I learned to distinguish some things with knowledge and wisdom that the Holy Spirit gave me. But that journey then took me to train my senses to hear and to see and to perceive and to know. And I think one of the most questions I get asked, because I mentor people all over the world, and I talk to people all day, most days. And people ask me, how do you see? I can't see. I want to see. I can't see. And they're so striving to see that they can't. Because you have to rest. And you have to relax. Be still and know that I'm God. And the know is not an intellectual knowing. It's a spiritual knowledge. So the word see also means to perceive. And at the end of the day, God wants you to perceive and have communication of his heart and to know what he's doing, whichever way it comes. And if that comes as a full-blown Technicolor Hollywood production, awesome. But it doesn't for everybody all the time. And you can learn to see. I did. And I learned to hear first. The Hebrew understanding of seeing encompasses all the senses. It isn't just visual, because communication comes in many different ways. And we perceive in many different ways. And we need to learn to discover how God has wired us. Because when we discover who we are, we can relax. And we don't have to try and compare ourselves or be anybody else. We just have to be us. That makes it much easier to just be. Because things flow when you're just being. Yeah, when you're striving, it's harder. That's why meditation, and biblical meditation, is about being relaxed, being chilled. And in that space, things flow. As soon as you try, it's harder. You know? So we have natural eyes, which see. We have the eyes of our heart, which sees. And we also have the eyes of our spirit, which sees. And all that information is actually all interpreted in the same place. In your head, in your consciousness, in your mind. You know, I'm seeing you right now in my head. You know, I know you're sat there, but actually the light that's coming off you is interpreted by electrical impulses. The same as hearing you, my ear picks up sound waves which turn into electrical impulses, and I've learned to discern that that's language. The spiritual perception is the same thing. The spirit, our, whether it be our imagination, that screen, or the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, actually is the same thing. It passes information to you which you've never been taught to interpret. You know, I learned to see because I kept seeing things all the time, and eventually my brain picked up what those things were. Now, you have no idea what I'm seeing. We have no idea what anyone else is actually seeing. You know, I'm looking at all the different colours that you're wearing. I don't know what colours they actually are. It's just what I've learned to see. Well, that's blue or that's pink or whatever. Now, I've no idea. Some people are colourblind, so they see something they don't see. So information that flows comes from the same source as all other information. We just need to learn to perceive it and to interpret it and understand it and experience it. So when you go into another realm, what you're seeing or perceiving or experiencing is communicated to you in your head. You might be there, but actually your perception of it comes in your head. Now, if you can get over that, it's all in your head, then it's much easier. Because that's the problem. You know, imagination has been really hit. People are accusing people of Gnosticism and all sorts of things because they're seeing things in their head. Well, everything is seen in your head. And if you can accept that, it's really easy. Because that's where you learn to discern. And where all the flow of it actually is received there. And as you practice to train your senses, you can actually discern where you are and what you're doing. And what God is saying and what God's doing and what's going on with the angels and all the things. Whether that be in this room, whether that be in the realms of heaven, we have to learn to do that. So our spiritual perception comes through various ways. Now, when you close your eyes, literally your brain starts to see on the screen of your imagination, even if it's just black to start with. That's where it is. And for a lot of us, that's what it starts with. Close my eyes and it's black. Then it's like, oh, I can't see. Well, you are. You see in black. But that black can actually then begin to turn into other things. If you focus on it and learn to go beyond the blackness into receiving and therefore interpreting all the information that's coming from the spiritual realms, whether that be the angels. I mean, this room is filled with things you can't see with your natural eyes. There are all sorts of radio waves and other type of waves that you can't see physically but are here. There are all sorts of spiritual things here as well, which if you don't learn to see, they're invisible to you. Some people sense them. So they sense there's an angel. And if they can't see it necessarily, but they know it's there, so they sense it. Well, those are senses. Those are things which you're receiving information. And you tuned into that. And some people are more perceptive than others in that. Some people operate with intuition. And they're able to perceive things that other people don't. They pick up atmospheres. They pick up things. All those things can be increased if we practice. So as you close your eyes, literally your brain waves go from faster beta waves, which are the waves which operate when you're trying to figure something out, to alpha waves, which is when we become more spiritually sensitive. That's why it's easier to close your eyes to begin with. Because you then block out everything else and your brain actually begins to tune in to things that you can't see. Because your eyes are shut. As soon as your eyes are open, you're actually processing. And you're trying to figure things out, which is harder. Which is why it's easier to begin with to close your eyes. But eventually, you can learn to see with your eyes open. And to engage with your eyes open. But it does take some practice. You know, I discovered some of it by accident, almost. But because I was pursuing trying to find out how to do these things. Because God gave me some involuntary encounters that then I wanted to do again. And I couldn't. So then I had to work out, well, how can I? So I used those encounters as a doorway to practice. And then I would read some scriptures, read the Bible, and the Bible would say, this can happen, or heaven's open, or things like that. Then I'd be, okay, well, I'm going to use that to practice. So that will give me a doorway into the experiences. So actually, all sensory information is actually discerned in our minds or our consciousness. And it's so much easier when you just accept that. Then it flows. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So there's a sense where we're supposed to begin to look for unseen things. Because they're actually not, they don't exist. It's just you can't see them with your natural eyes often, unless they choose to manifest. So when we look at the unseen with the eyes of our heart, or the eyes of our spirit, that usually gets played on the screen of our imagination. That's where you perceive. Whether you sense, or whether you see, or whether you hear, or whether you feel, it's all there. And when we then begin to use that, it opens up a whole different realm. So imagination, this is an Albert Einstein quote. I like Albert Einstein. Imagination is more important than knowledge, which is quite a surprising thing, as you'd think he'd say. For knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. Because it opens up to a different realm to connect to the omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence of God. Because if we're in Him, we can be anywhere. It's unlimited to where we can be. He also said, the intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honours the servant and has forgotten the gift. Because we're taught when we go to school to process logically. You know, the three R's. And actually most children, before they go to school, actually can see in spiritual realms. But it's taught out of them. So we need to encourage our children when they go to school. If you homeschool them, then you've got every opportunity of doing everything you want with them. But when they go to school, not to lose that and not to have that sort of taught out of them, because they are very sensitive. Albert Einstein also said, logic will get you from A to B, but imagination will take you everywhere, including all the realms of the spirit, which we can access through that realm. So God communicates through a flow of thoughts, words, pictures, impressions that create perception. And the key at the end of the day is to know. Because knowledge is not information or intellectual understanding, it's experience. Biblical knowledge is experience. If you haven't experienced it, then you don't know it. But most of what we talk about is information. You know, I know the Queen. Well, I know about her, and I've seen her on TV, but I've never met her. So I don't really know her. But I do know Prince Charles, because I have met him, and I've talked to him. So I can say I know him, and actually, I do. And we say we know a lot of things that we actually don't. We just have information about. So this is received and interpreted in our minds on that screen, and we can learn to access the spiritual realms using the same senses. We just have to tune in. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we can actually have our senses tuned, trained to discern the spiritual realms and have access to see and know and do all those things that we hear other people do. You know, and it's wonderful hearing testimonies of people who are exploring out in the realms of heaven and out in the galaxies and doing amazing things. You know, and I used to think, before I could do that, wow. But I've no idea how to do that. But then God started to show me. So voluntary encounters, which is what we all need to be able to do, to be able to engage whenever we need to engage, which actually is all the time. Yeah, we need to be there, flowing into here all the time. You know, I used to go there and come back. Go there every day, come back. So I would go there cognitively, soul and spirit, and then I would step back out of that, soul and spirit. Then I would try and do what I saw in, out. And it wasn't flowing. You know, nothing was flowing. Even though it was great what I saw when I went in there, I wasn't staying there. And in 2012, eventually, through a whole 4-month period, God actually separated my soul and spirit and reintegrated me and quantumly entangled me. And I've never been out of that realm since. My spirit has been in that realm since 2012, and yet I'm here. And all I have to do is shift where I'm thinking to be there. And so I can shift when I'm thinking now to where I am in the heavenly realms, and I could describe it to you. But my eyes are open and I'm talking to you. So I've learned to operate in dual realms and in both realms, and even my soul can be connected in both realms. But it took a lot of practice. It didn't happen just with a magic wand or someone lay hands on me. It doesn't work that way. I know we would really like it to. We would really like it if someone could lay hands on me and then you could do everything they did. But that was the charismatic illusion. It was sold to us that that's what would happen. That's why we went to all the conferences. We were hoping that would happen to us. We would come away with the anointing, which was transferable, we were told. But actually wasn't. You know, and you'd go and for a couple of weeks it'd be, oh, wow, wow, wow. And I had some awesome people pray for me and I had amazing experiences. But they weren't mine until they became mine. the people who were sharing encouraged me to pursue it myself. Now, I'm a bit of a terrier when it comes to something. I don't let it go. If I want something, I keep at it until I get it. And sometimes it takes years. It took me 3 years to get baptized in the Spirit in the Brethren Church because no one knew. I didn't know anyone who'd been baptized in the Spirit, and no one could lay hands on me. No one could do that. So I sought God for 3 years. I even taught the youth group that I was leading, and some of them got baptized in the Spirit, which was so unfair before I did. But eventually that happened, you know, but I didn't give up, and I'd never give up. Whenever I see something that God's saying, you can have that, I want it. And I pursue it, and I learn how to do it. Now, for those who are really easy and it just happens to, oh, that would be great. If envy wasn't a sin, I might be envious. But in reality, my journey is one of learning and engaging and seeing and learning and engaging and going deeper and deeper and deeper. You know? And voluntary encounters for me required practice. You know, they didn't just happen. So desire is where it starts. If you desire to engage, that will take you through the discipline process, the perseverance, the bit which is the hard bit, until it becomes a lifestyle. Then it's a delight. Now it's just my life. I live in that realm and do things in that realm all the time. Some I'm conscious of and some I'm not, because I don't need to be conscious of what I'm doing. You know, some people talk to me and they say, I was talking to you last night in heaven. And I said, oh, that's really interesting. What did I say? Because I didn't know. And then sometimes I do remember. Because I remember, oh, yeah. Because when I go to sleep every night, I send my soul into the garden of my heart with the Lord, and I enjoy rest. Because my soul doesn't need to sleep, but it does need to rest. And my body goes to sleep, and then my spirit is free because I'm not doing anything. So I basically say to God, I'm available. Is there anywhere you'd like me to go? Is there anywhere, anything you'd like me to do? And there's all sorts of adventures that I go on, some that I am aware of and some I'm not. But eventually, my soul will catch up with wherever my spirit's been and whatever my spirit's done. Because the Spirit releases that when you need to know it. And when I'm talking to people, sometimes I'm sharing things with them, they ask me all sorts of questions. I share some things and I just flow from that realm and I write things down that I've never said before, that I never even knew before. And I think, wow, that sounded really good. Where did it come from? Well, it came from my spirit being in that realm. And it came from all the encounters that you can have there, which are not always conscious. And even those that you do have, sometimes you don't understand. You know, I've had so many things happen that I've no idea what they're about. But my spirit engages them and eventually releases them. And, you know, when you eat food, you chew it. And in your mouth, there's enzymes that get released that start absorbing the nutrients in the food. So you get some immediate stuff in your mouth. But then you swallow it and some other enzymes are released. And then it goes a bit further. Don't want to go too much farther. But over that period, more and more nutrients get released when you need them. And it's the same with your spirit. Just because you don't understand something or even that you can't remember it doesn't actually mean that nothing's happened. And that your spirit won't release that to you cognitively when you need it. And I think so often we get caught up in the amazing visions that people have and we try and have visions like that. And when you do, a lot of people don't understand what they are. You know, I mean, I work with people who say they're seers. And they see all sorts of things. And they're always asking me to interpret what they see. Because they don't know. No, I used to. Because I'm gifted to be able to do that. I can interpret dreams and I can do those things. But I was finding that people were just coming to me as the dream guru to tell them what their dreams meant. So eventually I started saying, well, actually, just go and ask God to show you. Because he gave it you, he'll tell you what it means. Yeah. Then you'll build a relationship with him to be able to hear his voice. Because hearing his voice is so important. If I didn't have conversations with God, then I would have a lot of experiences that I didn't know what they were. But I can converse with God because I learned to do that over a long period of time. You know, hearing God's voice was the first thing God really took me to in probably about 2002. And I was reading my Bible and I heard just an impression. Why is your Bible like a filing cabinet? That's what I have. And I'm like, what? It isn't, I thought. Then I thought, well, open it. Look at the next page. And it's like all these highlights and underlined, you know, pink and purple and orange and yellow and all these colours. And all in the front was this little colour code that said all the themes. Because I'm sort of systematic like that. You know, and God said, how many of those verses do you actually know? And I thought, I've preached on them. And I realised I didn't know them. I read them. I preached on them. But they actually weren't part of me. And God said to me, meditate. Now, good brethren boy doesn't meditate. Didn't have a clue how to meditate. It's just like meditation. Stay away from that stuff. So I got my concordance out and found the Bible was full of meditation. And actually it had no study in it, which is what I used to do, study. And I didn't find one verse in the Bible that said study. And there is one that's been translated study, but doesn't mean study. You know, study to get yourself approved. Well, actually, it means be diligent. Persevere. It doesn't actually mean study. But we've developed a whole way of studying the Bible and not experiencing it. So I started to hear, and my version of meditation was, I just used to speak it over to myself. Like, be still and know that I'm God. Be still, be still, be still. And eventually, after a few years, because nothing happened for a few years. So I was doing that. I stopped reading the Bible through every year, because I used to read it through every year several times. I stopped doing that, and I just focused on some of these verses I'd highlighted, and I just started to meditate in them. And eventually, after quite a while, the thoughts that filled my mind weren't mine. So God started to speak to me about what I was meditating on and gave me revelation. And then eventually, having I could do that on any scripture, any time I wanted, and just hear God's voice about it, I thought, well, if I can hear God's voice through the Bible, what about hearing his voice? So I shut my office, locked the door, and put a chair opposite me, because I didn't want anyone to see what I was doing. I put a chair opposite me, and I didn't even think about seeing at this point. And I'm there looking. I was like, okay, so I start talking to Jesus. And it's like, didn't hear a thing. Couldn't see anything. Didn't hear anything. But I kept going day after day after day. And I'd do it like 5-10 minutes, sometimes a bit longer. Eventually, I asked a question, and I got an answer. His thoughts as words formed in my mind. Now I can have conversations with God all the time. I have journals which are this thick of my conversations with God. So when I see something or experience something, I don't understand it, I go and talk to God about it. Now sometimes he won't tell me. Sometimes he'll tell me, but I've no idea what he just said. You know, quite often. But I journal it all. And I journal it and go back to it eventually. And it'll open up. But I had to learn to do that. He had to teach me to do that because I couldn't do it. And then I had to learn to see the same way, you know. And, you know, cut a long story short, basically through an encounter with someone doing an exercise, I learned to see this Bible. You know, I didn't think of seeing anything else. It was just like, well, here's a verse in the Bible. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to meditate, but I'm going to see it. And eventually, I actually found that those seeings became real experiences. So one day I was thinking of Jesus talking to his disciples, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice just to sit and listen to Jesus teach? Wouldn't that be awesome? So I pictured, you know, Jesus on a hillside somewhere talking to his disciples. And I could see, and I was like there watching. And then Jesus looked at me, like right in the eyes, freaked me right out. And I actually thought, he can see me. I am actually here. And my spirit was there. Because there's no boundaries in time and space. Spiritually speaking, actually I was there. And he started to speak to me. That opened everything up. And so eventually, sort of cognitive perception is the key to understand. Not in our own understanding, but to understand what he's trying to communicate. So knowing is a conscious spiritual experience, not an intellectual understanding. Because I know where I am in the realms of heaven now. I know it because I'm there. I'm not seeing it because I'm looking at you. And I'm not, my eyes aren't closed, so I'm not picturing it. But I can describe it just as much as I can describe anything in this room. Because I'm there. And that information from there is flowing into my mind whenever I tune to it. And I can go and engage it just by shifting the focus of my consciousness from here to there. And I can do it by still being here and being there. Now, it took me a while to learn how to do that. But I kept at it until I could. You know? But there are also encounters which aren't conscious, which I shared earlier. It's like, you don't always understand everything or know everything, but eventually the purpose of it gets released. Now, we hear about an open heaven a lot today. You know, heaven invading earth is a really common term with Bethel and others. And it's like, great, but it's one-way traffic most of the time. We're inviting God to come here. And of course he does. He comes here, his presence comes when we worship, and he occupies our praises, and he sends the angelic realm and the cloud of witnesses. And while we were worshipping, one of the cloud of witnesses I particularly perceived. And it was Esther. And Esther has been around a few times where I've been recently. And one of the things Esther is coming for is to remind everybody that all of you have been called for the kingdom at a time such as this. Or called to royalty for a time such as this. And to remind you that you're already being prepared by Jesus to engage the Father. You don't have to go through another purification process. He's already done it and opened that realm for us to go into the King, to go in to engage the Father. So it's like a reminder to begin to focus and engage. But all of us can engage beyond the veil. It's open. Heaven is open. The veil has been torn. We can step through and we can actually learn to live there and dwell there. So an open heaven isn't a new concept that a few people made up over the last few years. It's obviously biblical. Enoch, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, the 70 elders, Elijah, Ezekiel, the high priest Joshua, they're all in the old covenant, but they all engage heaven. And they're all stories about it, if you find them. Then in the New Testament, Jesus, Paul, John, in the new covenant, they also engaged in that realm. Now, some people say, well, that was just them. Well, God doesn't treat you any differently than he treats anybody else. We're all special, and we've all got access. So, and there are many testimonies through church history. You know, we call them the mystics or mystical people, and some people, they write books about it. You know, they're often seen as a bit odd, because most people couldn't do what they did. I guess most of us seem a bit odd nowadays. But those testimonies are increasing more and more and more. Because I guess most of you have had those sort of experiences. So this is not something which is Old Testament or even early church. This is for everyone today. For all of us. And God wants us to be able to do that. To engage and have those testimonies of going into the realms of heaven, operating in the realms of heaven, doing what we're supposed to do in the realms of heaven, and in all the other spiritual realms. So all those involuntary encounters, when God gave me an involuntary encounter, it just spurred me on to find out how I could do that myself. You know, some people I've heard, oh, I had this vision in 1963. I said, oh, great, what did you do with it? Oh, nothing. I just had the vision. And so many people have had experiences, but didn't really know what to do with them. And God wants us not just to have an experience, but to live as a son. And to live in that realm, and to live in that open invitation to be there. Because we know heaven's open. And Ephesians 2:6 actually reveals that we're already there. Positioned there, in those heavenly realms. But we need to become consciously and actively aware of it, and to actually function there in both relationship and sonship and responsibility. And some people really focus on the governmental stuff, And some people focus on the soaking stuff. And both of them are needed, but not one to the detriment of the other. Relationship has to come first. If you don't have relationship and you don't know the heart of God, then what you do there can come out of your own heart, and that would not be a good thing. You know, our hearts need to be aligned to his heart. And I was engaging governmentally probably, I don't know, 2013. And I was engaging and doing some governmental things, as I was taught to do some things. And I was sort of focusing on it too much, I think. And one day, it's like I engaged the father, and I was like, what are we going to do today? Was what I said to him. What are we going to do today? He said, nothing. And he hugged me, and he didn't let me go. And I felt frustrated to start with, because I wanted to go and do stuff. It was exciting to go and do stuff in the courts of heaven, or go to the throne room, or go to places. It was exciting. But I was doing that to the detriment of relationship. So God was not too happy with that, so he just hugged me. Now, he hugged me for about 4 to 5 months and wouldn't let me go. And one day the father would hug me, and it was a heart to heart. You know, one of those hugs which are this side, the right, left side to the left side, which was this cardiogenosis thing of heart to heart. He didn't say anything. He just hugged me. But I learned more about his character and nature, how to know him from the hug, than I ever did from anything else. So one day the father would hug me, the next day Jesus would hug me, the next day the Holy Spirit would hug me. It went on and on and on. And then after about 2 or 3 months, they all just surrounded me and hugged me. And I was in the middle. And it was like being in the circle of their relationship with one another. It was awesome. And, you know, being in the circle of the dance. It's called the sacred dance of the relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit that you can be in the midst of and actually know. And I learned more about the love of God and the nature and character of God and the precepts of God from being hugged than anything else. But that opened things up then, because then I made sure that I focused on relationship. And then whatever I did governmentally flowed from relationship. And eventually I learned that I didn't need to focus unconsciously on the governmental stuff. I could do that stuff and still focus on the relationship all the time, which was pretty awesome. You know, so we are there, but we need to become aware and actually focus. Now, Hebrews 12:22 describes some of the things we can touch. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So this was a not you haven't, but you have already. And the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who were enrolled in heaven. That was a bit complicated language, but it just means those that are in heaven who've died physically here and are there. You know, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We have come. So anyone says, well, you can't talk to angels. Well, it says we have, and we can. You know, and it's important that we operate in all the spiritual realms, not just the heavenly ones. So what are the spiritual realms? Well, the spiritual realms in this dimension, all around us right now. And when you learn to see in that realm, you can learn to pick up what's going on. You know, when I first started to do it, it was like overwhelming because I couldn't turn it off. And I kept seeing all these spiritual atmosphere and angels and stuff. I didn't see any of the bad stuff. I wasn't interested in that. I just looked at all the stuff. And I was looking, and it was like I was really struggling to focus on anything else because I kept seeing all this stuff around people. And so there are angels in this room. All your angels are here, or some of them. Some of them might be off on assignment or somewhere, but they're all around you, and you can learn to see that. You can see the atmosphere that you're giving off. People call it an aura, but not use that word. But actually, that's what it is. Something is flowing through you. Now, you want to increase that flow to create an atmosphere and to have the river of life flowing through you. But you have something around all of you. You have angels around you. There are angels here. Whenever I go, angels come with me. You know, 4 angels particularly, and there are 4 orders of angels that I like to leave places if they're welcome. You know, those 4 angels are, and they always stand in the same place whenever I'm in a room. Over here, there's an angel called transformation. Over there, there's an angel called winds of change. Over there, there's an angel called sound of many waters. And over there, back in there, is refiner's fire. Sorry for those who are in the back room. It gets a bit hot sometimes when refiner's fire, because it's one of the seraphims and it's one of the burning ones. And you can interact with those angels. And if you want those angels to go with you, invite them. Because they're orders of angels. There's myriads of them. It's not just one. We have ours at home that stay with us. And then when I went away, I thought they came with me, but actually they didn't. It was just the order came with me, and they can stay. And any of you can invite those four angels, because those four angels are assigned for this season in our transformation out of the old into the new, and helping us discover our destiny and our identity in God, and deal with the things in our lives that need a little bit of transformation and a little bit of fire. Because we're not quite there yet, most of us. There's still things that we are going through and being transformed. Hey, but God loves us. So it's a good thing to embrace it. But if you need a new season in your life, hey, winds of change is your guide. If you need to hear the voice of God, like the sound of many waters, like deep calling to deep, that calls you deeper into your destiny to engage your scroll and things like that, then engage the sound of many waters. Because it unveils and opens a depth of intimacy. The vast sum of God's thoughts about you get revealed. And you start hearing, not what other people are saying about you, but what God says before the foundation of the world. And all those amazing vast sum of the thoughts that are all for you. And when you start to know them, you start to know who you are. Most of us know who we are from what other people have said, or what's happened to us. But we need to know who we are from who God says we are. And we get that by face-to-face engagement with him. So those angels are all here. This room is filled with spiritual activity. And there are other angels, and there's a few different things here. Now, how do I know that? Well, because I learned to see. And I learned to do it. And there's other realms as well. Like within our spirit and in our soul. Our spirit and our soul are spiritual realms. They're not physical. They're spiritual. But they're like the TARDIS. They're bigger on the inside than they are on the outside. So my soul and the garden of my heart is enormous. And I've planted it and cultivated it and tended it, and the river of life is thrown through it. About a year ago, the Holy Spirit took me to fly. I love flying. You know, like flying dreams and flying things with the Holy Spirit. When I first started to engage the realms of heaven, the Holy Spirit would just take me flying all the time. That was awesome. And the Holy Spirit engaged me one day and said, I want to show you something. I thought, oh, great. Look, we're going to the garden of your heart. Oh. So I was a bit like, well, I've been there. I know what it's like. But actually, he took me flying to see how the river of life had flowed and all the stuff I'd planted and cultivated and all the seeds of testimony that I'd sown into the garden of my heart and tended. It was like the tree of life. Wow. That's what it looked like. All these tributaries flowing. And I looked over it and I was like, wow, it's amazing. You know, but everything I do in heaven, I sow into my own heart. Because then I carry it wherever I am. And then I can give that away as a testimony to somebody else. Because it like produces fruit. Because we're supposed to be fruitful and to multiply. So the best way to multiply is to give away the fruit, because it carries the seed. And the seed multiplies in people as they embrace it. So that's a spiritual realm. Our spirit is a spiritual realm that God lives in. And he lives in our spirit, and therefore we can engage him there. You know, you don't have to just engage him in heaven. You can actually engage him within your own spirit. And then you can invite him to come into your soul and to fill you with his presence. And the Holy Spirit can flow like rivers of living water. And of course, yeah, there are the heavenly realms and heavenly places and lots of other things and other dimensions. There's under the earth. I'm not going into that tonight. Had a few discussions about that before we started. I'll leave all the controversial stuff to another time. Under the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, other dimensions, those things exist. And we have access to them because God has access to them. And he opens that access to us. And we can engage in what I call the eternal now. What was before there was a was. And it's the heart of God. It's the most amazing place to be. When I first started to engage there, I tried to understand it. Bad idea. Couldn't understand it. But eventually I just learned to rest there, be there, and just be. And God opened up a revelation of his heart from a perspective of now. So we think of what was, what is, and what will be, but to God it's all now. So when we look to what will be, we need to look in what is God's heart. And then you can begin then to outwork God's heart to establish what will be. Because we are supposed to be creators of what will be, history. Because once we've established it, it becomes history. We're history makers. But if we keep creating history of what we already know, we'll keep getting history like we've already got the past. I don't want the past. I want God's heart for the future. Therefore, I need to know his heart. So being in eternity and being in that place opens up the fact that he's connected to now all the time. And when I first started engaging there, and one day God said, because I'd been in his heart, and he said, I want to show you my mind. You know, and I thought, wow. You know, and I had all this picture of neurons firing and ideas. And it was just like, wasn't like that at all. It was just like one of those sort of like, no. And I was just there, and I'm in the midst of a conversation. Conversation between Father, Son, and Spirit that's always been and always will be. And I started to hear glimpses of me in their conversation. And those were some of the vast sum of his thoughts and conversation about me, which when I got hold of, totally changed my life. Totally changed the possibilities for me to also think in the now and not in the was or even the is. And so I began to learn how to choose reality out of God's heart. And therefore, I'm not limited by what is possible. I'm limited by it, unlimited by anything, because nothing's impossible with God. So we often create our own, we always create our own reality. Most of it is through the choices of the past. So you keep getting the same reality, which is not what most of us want. So we need to start to see things from a different perspective. That perspective opens up a different reality. It opens up the opportunities for us to embrace what is possible in God and choose to create that. You know, I've chosen to create things which aren't possible because they are possible. Because I don't think linearly anymore. You know, and it's like I was in New Zealand and I was in Auckland and I was doing a meeting like this and it got late and we ran over because people asked lots of questions. And it's like we finished, got out, and the caretaker locked the gate. And everyone was locked into the car park and we couldn't get out. And it was absolutely tipping down with rain. And it was like the two people at the front of the thing weren't even believers yet at that point. They've been invited to come. And I was talking about angels and different things. And they with a little twinkle in their eye, they said, oh, well, can you ask an angel to open the gate? So I thought, no, I don't need to ask an angel. I'll go and open it. So I chose the reality of opening the gate. Just chose the reality. So I walked up to the gate, got hold of the padlock, and opened it without a key. And they were like, because they tried and they couldn't open it because it was locked. No, it wasn't God's will that they got stuck there. And it's like, yeah, we could have chosen the reality of, well, we're going to call the caretaker and get him out to open the gate. And we'd have all waited there for the caretaker. And he would have been probably very annoyed. But actually, that wasn't the best reality to choose. The reality was, no, I'll open the gate. Now, I've done that in numerous times over numerous things because I'm not limited by what I've always done before. You know, I'm unlimited. And do you think God can open a gate? He made everything. Of course he can. So all you have to do is actually start to choose out of our sonship. Because we're made in the image of God. As co-heirs, but also co-creators. And I like the co-creating stuff. Because it's really fun. No, I'm not getting very far, but never mind. It's all good. So engaging those realms is sort of an exploration. You know, I never knew these things existed. Well, I've read the Bible, but I'd never been there. But it's an adventure. You know, I grew up as a kid longing for adventure. You know, I just longed for adventure. I was always on a hike out somewhere, exploring somewhere, doing something, getting into mischief all the time. So, you know, adventure is sort of in me. And so this amazing journey of discovery that I've been on has just fulfilled who God made me to be. And I believe he's made all of us to be adventurers. Yeah. You know, we may have had it sort of knocked out of us or hindered, but actually we're all made to be adventurers, to discover the things that God has created and discover who we are. So in those realms, I discovered relationship, intimacy, deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of God, knowing more and more and more by experiencing him, and responsibility, that actually I can't just have fun without actually bringing heaven to earth, or doing the as it is bit and ruling in the courts and having charge of the courts and doing the things on the thrones and the mountains and the things that are also there in sonship. Because God wants us to have fun. He wants us to enjoy it, but he also wants it to change everything. The whole world needs to be transformed. You know, the world needs to be set free from the bondage of sin, brought back into the glorious freedom of not God, actually us. If you read Romans 8, it says that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So if we do not know our glory, creation isn't going to be set free, which is why we need to know who we are as sons of God and not be, oh God, will you do this? I mean, I used to ask God that all the time. I'd pray a lot. God, can you help this person? God, can you do this? God, can you do that? And one day he said no. And I thought, you can't say no. You're supposed to answer my prayers. That's what I thought. And he said no. And then he said, I've told you to do this and I've empowered you to do it. Why do you keep asking me? Grow up. That's what he said, with a smile on his face. Because he was always got a smile on his face. Even when we do the dumbest things, he's always smiling. You know, and he wants us to learn. So I've made so many mistakes. You know, I've done so many duh moments. You know, I mean, I've been Homer Simpson over and over again. You know, it's just like, duh. You know, and I could catch myself saying something to God, thinking, oh, God, I wish I could take that back. Because it was just like, oh, what a stupid thing to say. But God just laughs. I mean, he mostly at my expense. You know, and he does laugh a lot because I just sometimes think such stupid things. But he just laughs. There's a fantastic picture that I found on the internet of a lion with his hand over its face like this. Like, what are they up to now? You know? And that's what God's like. He's loving. He's not going to punish you if you get it wrong. He's going to help you to learn from it because that's what he does. He loves us. You know, so face-to-face intimacy is what leads to the positions of heavenly authority. Without having a face-to-face intimacy, what we'll do in heavenly authority will be limited. Because God won't trust us. He won't, you know, you don't give a machine gun to a baby. You know, God won't give us the authority that actually is ours as sons if we don't know him. And if we don't know ourselves. Because when you know him, you will see who you are. You know, beholding and becoming is an awesome thing. So I went from having visions of heaven to visiting heaven to living there all the time. Now that took me, I don't know, quite a while. Yeah. But the last bit is speeded up a lot. I mean, the last 8 years, I've been like a roller coaster of increase and increase and increase and increase, but also change and change and change and transformation and transformation and deconstruction and deconstruction. Because my mind was framed by so much religious junk. You know, I had so many religious frameworks. God actually one day took me for a walk and it was dark, and I've never walked with God anywhere where it was dark. And eventually I said, well, where are we? He said, we're in your mind. So I suddenly thought, no wonder it's dark. But literally, he showed me the framework of my mind and how it was framed with belief systems. And he told me what the 9 belief systems that were framing my mind were. 6 of them were religious belief systems. Because I'd been around religious things since I was 2, old enough to send to Sunday school. And I'd absorbed so much. Now, some of it I jettisoned consciously, but it still framed my thinking. So God said, do you want me to deconstruct this? So I thought, oh, yeah. So he said, well, I can do it 2 ways. I can take it down bit by bit, or I can pull these 9 pillars out. So I thought, pull the 9 pillars out. And then I suddenly thought, oh, no, I'm going to lose my mind. So I said to him, Can you do it one at a time? You know the first pillar he pulled out? Evangelicalism. Ooh, man, that was a big thing to pull out. Because it was like, have you ever seen a domino rally? When you knock over the first thing. It was like, this just knocked over every belief system I virtually ever had. And it was like, I could see things I never saw before. Things just fell away. And God was able to open my mind and us to engage things I'd never engaged before when he did that. And that was just one. And he systematically went through all of them. You know, it was, you know, I call it mind quakes. That's what it felt like. It felt like God was, there was a quake going on my head. I was wobbling all over the place. You know, it was such a challenging thing. But through it, God just kept taking me on walks. He said, come and walk with me. And I was like, oh yeah, where are we going today? Because every time he said that, he took me to something that actually unveiled something that I never saw before. Even though I'd experienced these things before, what it meant was veiled because of these frameworks. It's called confirmational bias. You experience something and you interpret it from what you already know it means, rather than what it actually means. So all that stuff got deconstructed. I went through 18 months of cognitive dissonance. I've experienced this, I don't believe it. I experienced it, I don't believe it. And it's like, well, are you going to believe what I've shown you, or are you going to believe what you think it meant? So, oh, I'm going to give up that then. So I gave up needing to understand. And one day the Father took me, he took me into the garden of my heart, and there's a little place in the garden of my heart which is the first place I discovered when I went there. I didn't even know it was the garden of my heart. It was a little area with some grass and a tree and a swing and a little bench. And I used to sit on the swing and he'd push me. And he would talk. And it was just awesome. Because I never had that from my earthly dad, because we didn't have such a good time. But he restored so much. And he put me on this swing. And one day he said, do you know where we are? And I thought, well, oh, we must be in this special place that you've created for me in heaven. He said, no, we're in the garden of your heart. So I didn't even know I had a garden in my heart. So he took me back to this place. And in this tree, there was this amazing tapestry. And it was a tapestry of all the encounters that I'd had in the past 6 years. This was 2016, end of 16. And it went back to 2010. And it was amazing. It was the most intricate woven picture of all my encounters. It was beautiful. And I started to look intently, and I'd forgot the Father was even there. And I saw a little thread in the middle of it. Just a little thread. You know, when I was a kid, my mum used to say, don't pull the thread. And I would always have to pull it or try and do something with it. And I would try and hold it and pull it so it wouldn't run. And it's like, my mum said, no, tuck it in, tuck it back in. But it's no, I'd always pull it. So I thought, oh, I'm going to follow this thread. It's going to take me deeper. I pulled it and the whole thing just unraveled. There's a pile of thread on the floor. And behind it is the Father with the biggest grin on his face. And you know what he said? He said, what's an image of me? I thought, oh my word, it's an idol. Wow. So all my encounters, amazing as they were, I had created an understanding of it which had become an idol. Wow. And I thought, that's it. I'm not trying to understand ever anything ever again. I don't need to understand anything. I just need relationship. Because it's relationship that will lead us into everything. Yeah. And God wants us to go on these experiences. Now, I had all these involuntary encounters in 1995. First time I went into heaven, Father took me, bounced me on his knee. Again, completely restored something I never had as a child. 2008, I was at my desk one night, waiting. Before everyone had gone home, I was waiting because I was doing something in the evening. I thought, I'm just going to spend some time just preparing. I'm there and a portal opens up in my desk and sucks me through. Like, and I'm in heaven. Like, completely not there. I mean, I'm there. I mean, it's like, you know, Paul says, I knew a man, didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. I didn't know. I was in heaven. I was by the river of fire. There was these firestones. I never knew what they were. The throne of God. I mean, it's an amazing encounter. So I come out of it. It took about an hour, but in heavenly time it was a lot more. Come out of it and I, wow. Next day I get to my desk. I'm waiting for the portal to open. Of course it doesn't. And for 2 years, I pursued trying to get that portal open. It just wouldn't open. But I did everything. I bought Patricia Screws, Kring's Glory School, because it talked about going into heaven. I did everything I could because I was doing my best efforts. And God was saying, your best efforts aren't ever going to do it. So eventually, 2010, someone sent me a prophetic word, and the first line said, God knows your heart. Now, I said, well, before I read anything else, I know what's in my heart. So if God knows my heart, he knows I want to go back into heaven. And then in this prophetic word, it said, ascend to where I am, a door is open. So I thought, oh, wow. So I went on a fast, 40-day fast, and eventually, basically, I broke into heaven. Again, he took me into that realm, and I was there for about 3 weeks, in and out for 3 weeks. And I then learned how to do that myself, because they were all involuntary encounters. But when I finished the thing, I said, I do not want this to be a fast, that this happens, and then tomorrow I can't do this. So show me how to do it. And he said, you need to do it like everyone else can do it, on your own time. So I got up earlier, and I spent more time. And the next day I got up and I stepped back into that realm and I was there. And I did that for 2 years, every day, in that realm, engaging in my own spirit, engaging in the gateways of my spirit, soul, body, engaging in heaven. You know, I found that in me, there's a gate. And when I open it, it opens up heaven. And I go through it. It's like a micro wormhole, for those who are technically inclined. And you step into it and you're immediately in Eden. And there's also Jacob's Ladder, where heaven's open and you can step into that realm. And so I learned how to do that every day until 2012. Eventually, I ended up in this dark cloud experience and God separated my soul and spirit and reintegrated it. And I've ended up living in that realm ever since. And living in that realm is the most awesome thing. You know, and from that realm, everything flows into this one. And we get to do the as it is, and we get to use the courts of heaven. You know, I mean, I can go on for a long time, but I'm gonna sort of leave it there. But I want to encourage you that you are no different from me. God loves you. I'm really special to God, and so are you. Yeah. And everything that God has taken me through means that you can experience exactly the same. Maybe differently, and you're on a different journey, and you're on your own path, and you'll come from a different place, and you may well find it easier because forerunners open doors for others to step into. Because it's easier when someone else has gone. You know, people like Justin and people like Ian, they're explorers and they're out there and they say, wow, there's stuff over here. And sort of I'm like, oh yeah, let's go and occupy that. Because I'm a pioneer. I want to take the ground and I'll occupy it. I don't want other people to live in it. That's what I do. I spend all my time trying to encourage other people. You know, so the last sort of 4 or 5 years, you know, we've been teaching people how to do this systematically. First, the people in the church at home, then through the Engaging God people, we've got about 1,000 people around the world who are all learning to do this by practicing. And it's easy if you're willing to actually put in the practice. Heaven's open, the angelic realm's open, the spiritual realm of your spirit is open. If you open your first love gate every day, you'll encounter God. And you'll find that heaven's open for you to walk back in. Follow the river of life. Find the throne of grace and the tree of life. And the judgment seat. Well, I'm not sure you want to go there, but it's a good place. But there are so many places to engage and discover deeper intimacy with God. And then to discover your mandates and your blueprints and your scroll. And all the things that God's called you to do as a son, so that you can be part of the restoration of all things. You can be part of setting creation free. Because creation itself is longing and waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And I'm looking at a whole load of them. So creation is waiting for you to take your place in that realm, in relationship and responsibility, and bring heaven to earth and be a gateway of heaven to earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.